afternoon, Australia. Good evening, America. And welcome to everyone across the planet. This is Insight Intelligence, our weekly show with the wonderful Mario Beckers. But before we get on with the show, here's what you need to know. If you're listening live on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter, we have Hannah ready and waiting to take your comments, questions, and provide you with links to anything we talk about in the show today. A reminder too that replays of Insight Intelligence are available on YouTube, Binge Networks TV, the Tony TV channel available on all Roku, LG and Samsung smart TVs across the planet, and the Tony TV channel app available for download now. As you might know, we're encouraging people to jump on and subscribe to not only my YouTube channel, but also Mario's YouTube channel in an attempt to grow Mario's business for him. Now, each week we do a little welcome to country and it goes a bit like this. I want to respectfully acknowledge the people of the Yugambeh language region on the Gold Coast, Queensland, Australia, the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, and pay my respect to the elders past and present and all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here today. Now, as you know, Mario has been zipping and zagging across the globe these last few weeks, and today finds Mario in the Philippines. And we were a little concerned about the internet bandwidth in the Philippines, so what we're going to do, if it starts to lag too much, we're just going to turn off Mario's video so you still get to listen to that amazing voice. But here's what I want you to remember about Mario. He grew up in communist Croatia, then it was a part of Yugoslavia, and he witnessed a lot of social unrest, finding himself in the middle of the Croatian War of Independence. From that time to now, Mario has changed his life completely to become a leader, public speaker, results-driven, best-selling, published book author. He's also a relationship builder and a facilitator with expertise in investigative techniques, interviewing, interrogation, corporate and human competitive business intelligence. And we are lucky to share this hour with Mario each and every week. Now, just a little bit of a surprise. This was supposed to be Mario's last show, but we're going to come back and I'm going to bring Mario back next week because I want to talk about his books. So I'm going to surprise Mario live on air with that invitation, because I don't think we spent enough time talking about Mario's experience and books. But before we get on with the show today, we've been exploring loads and loads of topics about what Insight Intelligence does. And as I just said, you've been zapping across the world to Eastern Europe, Dubai, Singapore, and now in the Philippines. And I really want to know, from your perspective, what you've experienced in your time overseas. What's happening out there, especially from an intelligence perspective and additionally from a human perspective? And I know Mario and I have talked about this privately, but I'd really love to share with the audience some of the insights that Mario's gained, particularly over the last number of weeks, about what's happening globally. Over to you, Mario. Welcome back.
Thank you, Tony. And I'd like to say thank you for all viewers, listeners, and the people who is watching your show and listening podcast. I apologize for the environment. I'm in a hotel room, as you can see, and I'm talking directly to my laptop. So the sound maybe is not the best. And as the TJ says, internet is something out of my control and it goes, you know, up and down here in the Philippines. So if it's interrupted, suddenly it's out of my hands. So, Tony, thank you once again for having me on your show. I'm very, very thankful for everything what you've done so far for me. I'd like to say thank you to your team who is always there in every episode and, you know, making this happen. Now, for the traveling, well, I can only start with a disappointment, like that I couldn't have the coffee on a Sydney airport, Kingsford Airport, 5 o'clock in the morning. So that was the first shock for me.
Really?
There's plenty of the stores actually being shut down, coffee shops, It is obviously the lockdown took the toll. However, there's a smart people there in the government who believes that that's okay. So it is not okay. And then, you know, traveling itself was a pleasant. Coming to Dubai was this little bit surprise for me because I run into the dust storm. And,
yes.
You know, like, we are landing, us like, where's Dubai? Like, where is the city?
It's disappeared!
Yes, and the captain was kind enough to explain what's going on. And, you know, of course, you know, we understood this. So my very first day, like, I slept, you know, like presumably everybody would after 15 hours of traveling.
Yeah, 15.
The following day when I was awake up in the morning, you know, I saw the Orange City, but I was still happy I was in Dubai. Then traveling Abu Dhabi for the meeting with the clients. Back in Dubai same day, because distance is not big enough, 40 minutes drive by the
yes.
car. It's a beautiful scenery. And, you know, I really enjoy that part. I must say that I am surprised. I even wrote the article, which people can see on my website, mariobeck.com.au, what people can learn from Dubai. And I had an opportunity to talk to one potential client, which is he's a CEO of the chain of the food outlets, right? Restaurants, Chinese food, Taiwanese food. And, you know, he brought, you know, a couple of businessmen across for the dinner as well to, you know, to meet me and expand the network, which I'm very grateful. And what happened, Tony, like I asked him, it's like, how did you live during the COVID and after the COVID? And first of all, they told me, like, we are 99.9% all vaccinated. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And what they did, you know, they explained to me why they Emirates sitting on a fence, you know, they don't holding nobody's sight, right? West or east or south or north. So they acquired so much vaccines at the beginning that they pushed that Dubai Expo to go ahead, even was being postponed.
Uh-huh.
And it was accumulating such a tremendous losses. And eventually they come out as a winners because they opened earlier. They reduced a lot of requirements in terms of vaccination. So you don't need to be vaccinated to come in Dubai or Emirates. You need to be a PCR test 24 hours prior departure and arrival, of course. And, you know, they're growing business rapidly because they see an opportunity for the markets, what other countries, they don't do it. That being said, there are the shortages. You can see the shortages across Dubai. They, you know, they're filling the shelves and everything else. Like, looks like everything is filled, but you can see there's the same product across the shelf, you know what I mean?
Right.
And, of course, they using every avenue possible to explore, to bring as much as possible goods. However, they have the struggle. More in Eastern Europe, you know, it's that was the challenge. That was the challenge even bigger. And, as I say, visiting every country before I continue, it was a true privilege to talk to people on the ground and read their local newspapers, to, you know,
yes.
watch their TV station. When I say that local, I say they state TV or, you know, newspapers from the areas where they are. And then you realize that people are living in some type of fear of the possibility of the Third World War. That is the one thing. They are all looking for some type of hope, but they don't care much what politicians say because they are trying to make and meet living, you know what I mean? So that's what it is. And there's a shortages in money in terms of that people are actually, the prices went higher, everywhere it's going higher and higher and higher, while the salaries are still down on a minimum. And that was opportunity we always advocated. Don't rely just on social media, on media outlets which are available on social media. You need to listen to something like Tony TV. People who are come from, I'm honestly saying this, not because I'm there, but people from the people. And as like the sentiment is growing across the Asia, very, how to say, different way than the pre-COVID. And you can see the influence of China. It's across Philippines, you can see the influence of China in Singapore. It's a surprise for me. In the contrary, Eastern Europe, it's, you know, always been trouble with everything and anything, and the life becomes very different, very expensive, and people are looking for the hope, you know, looking for the hope, for the brightness, because, you know, 2 years of the COVID restrictions, lockdowns, and everything else, now the prices, you know, rapidly, just on hourly rate, it's just going on. And that being said, as well, people, I mean, I say people, I say citizens of every this country I visited, they just want to have some type of hope, some certainty and everything else. But they fear of the Third World War, the fear of the being famine. It's real problems for them. And you can see like that influence, as I say, in Emirates, you can see Russia there, like influence of Russia. It's a strong, you know, I mean, it's like half of the people on the plane was people from the Russia, you know, I mean, and they do the trading with the Russia one way or another. Philip, it's another hand, you know, when I landed, you know, even I saw that, you know, wanted to see here, everything's in Chinese, you know, everything's enveloped in Chinese. And it's like, since when China is here? Oh, they're the best friends. I'm like, okay, that's very interesting, you know what I mean? But
that is
tourism,
interesting.
So on the other hand, tourism doesn't grow either in Singapore and Philippines, very slow. Even they have the big fear, and you can see it's a dent in maintenance of the lives of people in terms 2 years. It's a shortage of the spare parts, shortages of the cars, shortages. It's a lot of shortages are happening there, and of course in Asia, everybody blames, you know, West. You know, I mean, on in Europe, it's the blame in the Asia. You know, so it's going all this blame around.
Aww.
Who is responsible for what? But overall, I feel like, I must say that people, whoever looks to explore the life and world, should talk to the people you're interviewing, most importantly, because this is the people coming from the ground zero, I would say. And I must say that I didn't find none of useful information, you know, provided on any social media outlets. When you come in a country like in the Philippines, I was shocked. You know, I mean, I was shocked. You know, people are kind and everything else, but you can see that there's a slow, like a slow motion in life. You know, I mean, they try to recover, they try to recuperate, but it doesn't work. You know, I mean, it's like tourism was their main industry. It was just on a back foot, literally on a back foot. So they're struggling that way. So I'm inviting everybody to explore the world, find the business partners, because that's another hand. Businesses are striving and they're looking for the partners across the globe. Emerging technologies. Social media, sorry, I apologize. Platform to be publicized, everybody's looking for.
Yes.
And I'm inviting everyone to come to you. And like I always say, check this lovely lady, she helped me. And, you know, like, and that's what it's like. Because a lot of things happened during the COVID, but now COVID's gone, it's disappeared. And saying that it's very important people, they want to be seen and heard what they have to provide. And I'm inviting everybody to come, Tony TV. And that's going to be
Mario,
good promotion.
Thank you.
No, so.
I believe with a passion about alternative media sources. I actually think that mainstream media has done humanity such a disservice. And I passionately believe that there is so much more out there. There's so much good and better, and people will start to turn to non-traditional media to find the good in the world, to make their business connections, and to educate themselves. It's going to happen. And if you're not already interested, you should be. And Mario can vouch for this.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm inviting everybody. Look, from my perspective, as somebody who's working intelligence all his life, I'm inviting everybody to explore alternatives. Social media, it's full of everything, but if you're looking to expand your business, you need to listen to people who are traveling, people who are on the ground, people like who interviewing business people like yourself, rather than just go on social media and Google it or whatever it is. And, you know, like let's say when I was in Singapore, when I saw the certain people there, I said, everything is green here. Why have there so many greens? He said, because we destroyed the rainforest many decades, you know, the soil was destroyed. And he said, but we want to do the better footprint, you know what I mean? Because as we know, the trees are, you know, the lungs of the world. And I was sitting myself, I was like, okay, so why we cut the trees, you know? And then the gentleman from that sector, he says to me, you want to save the planet, plant more trees, you know, instead of this, you know, let's go drive the electric cars, you know what I mean? Because we still need to build a. So it was very interesting to see how the people perceiving the world. And as like there was a tremendous disadvantage of COVID lockdowns on every country, including Emirates. But Dubai, I saw like, you know, they bounced back quite early because they realized the potential. If they stay for too long open, they will never be able to reopen, restart, reignite all these things. Singapore just recently opened, and it's more relaxed than any country. You just come inside and just show a certificate, you're vaccinated, goodbye.
Yes.
While living in Australia, it is the process. You know, I mean, it's
we've had a bit of a rough way in Australia. I'm hoping that'll improve with a change of government and a change of leadership. That would be good for us to have that change of leadership. I'm hoping
Yes.
it will be good.
Yes.
Mario, since we're speaking about leadership, I want to highlight the fact that you are considered a leader, not only just as the CEO of Insight Intelligence and of your amazing Insight Intelligence Institute, but you are not only a trainer and educator, but you're a leader in intelligence. I want to know what it takes to be that leader in that space. And I know we're talking about you've just been all over the globe talking to clients and people, but what else is important to be a leader in this space? Is it about making sure you're across the latest technology, being aware of the latest trends and frauds and the latest in intelligence? What else is it, Mario?
Thank you, Tony. Thank you for asking this question. I always come back to this thing. A leader is not somebody who is it's not a job title.
No,
it doesn't exist. First of all, because if you want to be the leader, you need to have the followers or supporters or whatever you are. And everybody loves to take a title. I'm the leader. I'm the leader. I'm the leader. Leader doesn't go just on a sunny side. You know, it's when beneficiary, when it's abundance, as well. You take a responsibility for every action. Leader that does take a responsibility for every action from the top to the bottom. And to be considered the leader, it took me time to come to that position itself. And I wasn't being somebody who's pushing myself, I want to be a leader. You become chosen. And how you become chosen, it's the surroundings. You're working for the people, or you're working for the government sector, you know education. So it's very important to understand that leader is a choice of others to become leader, not your mind.
Yes.
And for me, it was prerequisite was to have an education, not just while brought with me from Croatia, but as well in Australia worldwide, which is been determined in my previous years now in Australia as well. So that was the one thing as well. Then you need to have the publicized books, which they're talking about topics. And so it's not a book based on opinion based. It's, you need to have the support. I was truly privileged to be mentored by Professor Clive Smallman and Dr. Patrick Scholar-Gray. Those are the two people who are stood side by side by me, and they look at my growth in terms of academics, and that I am what I'm putting out. It actually stands there because, you know, Tony, we all have to be opinionated, but in reality, when you're putting something out as a book or as a content, you must have the argument and counter-argument. You must have the references, you must have, you know, the sources and everything else. For me, that was unknown many, many years ago.
Yeah.
So it happened. So to become the leader, and then you have that these public speaking gigs, which they're basically, you know, talking to the, for example, just for the client space, but you're talking on events,
groups
with,
of people. Other,
that's correct. With the same field, and they are there to critique you, right, in a positive way. So that was me as being chosen by the several bodies and the prominent individuals. To put me in position to call me, they said Mario is a leader in this because I'm applying the previous knowledge. And Tony, we all can agree, you know, you and I, I'm the dinosaur, I'm 50 years old this year, and I can't think, as I was thinking 20, 30 years ago today, right? For example, I was for one meeting recently, and there's two gentlemen there, and they say, we are millennials, we don't understand you old people. And I said, like, you don't need to understand us old people, but you should understand the history. And he was like, well, what do you mean? I said, like, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't be, because people are losing interest in what's happened in the past, except when they need it, right?
Mm.
And then I said, like, okay, you can be millennials as much as you want. I have no problem. My son, it is. But if I tell you that Second World War started 1st of September 1939 for that reason and intelligence, you should check at least. And then,
Yeah.
like, you can sit on it, like, it's like, oh, that's old, you know what I mean? Like, it's because everything is instant now. So to become a leader, you must apply that all teachings, all experience, merging with the new technologies, new approaches, new modus operandi, how to capture information, how to analyze information, and most importantly, millennials or the newer generation, they're happier with that is without checking source validity and what's it called, information reliability, which means that who write it and why is written something, rather than instantly grab this, and that's how we become the leader to demonstrate, I'll say, analog with the digital, right? Merging the old technologies with the new.
Mario, I was just going to say, one of the some of the articles that I've read in recent times talks about our generation as being the last and most unique generation on Earth. And
That's
the
right.
reason for that is because we can remember life without computers and the internet. And we've had to evolve and learn and educate ourselves to a technologically advanced position. And
That's
we
right.
will be the last of our generation that gets to do that. Because generations coming behind us, it's a given. They're
Yes.
born with iPhones in their hand, they're born with access to laptops, but for our generation, we remember what it was like to have the first computer, what it was like when the internet became something that we used every single day. There'll be no other generation like that. And that's a privilege, isn't it, Mario?
It is. Look, we're all evolving. There's a difference between evolution and revolution. Same goes in the business. Evolution from point A to point B, like a snail pace, you know, it's everything slowly as we know, and that's how revolution it is from point A to point B in such a quick and short period of time. But that brings the burden of the risks of what ifs, you know. And you and I, Tony, like I'm grateful that I was born in, I mean, I never knew what the internet it is before 1998. When I come to Australia, I heard that dial-up sound. I was like, what is this, dude? It's like, and everyone was screaming on me
Yeah,
in
see,
the air. But
people today, they wouldn't remember what dial-up internet sounded like, but we know what it sounded like because it was
yes.
burned into our brains.
Yeah. One thing common, it's in intelligence still stays our human brain. And this is what never's going to change. Never will change. Doesn't matter how many chips they try to put in us or whatever they are. All our ideas, blueprints, starts here. All our work we're doing is recording our brain. And human is always the source of every information, every thought, every action, every opposition, name it. You know, we can go to all Newton laws and say why. But the thing it is, when I travel across the globe right now, I'm seeing that there's a new technologies merging with the potential science fiction ideas. For example, I saw in Philippines right now here, there's a certain number of people who needs to put the wrist, on a door. And I ask, why doing this? And they say, like, this is how we identify people. I was like, what do you mean? They already have the implants, right? They already have implants, on the wrist. And I'm like, okay. He said, because and I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And when I start my presentation, I said, like, okay, I saw your biometrics and everything else. You took at every single pane, laptop, we're sitting in this room, beautiful room. They said, like, yeah, we're 100% bulletproof. I said, like, okay. I said, what's with our brain? And they said, like, we're working on this. And I'm like, sure, right? So, of course, I'm not just about my above my pay grade, but it's science fiction. It's come to reality, and you and I, if we grow up with the things like, we saw in the movies in the 80s and 90s, that it's reality. So what I try to say, the world is changing, but one thing it's stays certain. Everybody looks for the hope, looks for the certainty, and looks for the peace, because they want to live the life. And only way to live the life it is to combine their experiences, work experiences, business experiences with other businesses across the globe. And everybody's striving to that direction I saw. And when I do the power presentations, people, you know, challenging me, of course, you get critiques. But after all, they say like, okay, I like it the way how you perceiving things. And I say, yes.
Yeah. Mario, over the course of the last 8 weeks, we've talked about a lot of things in and around intelligence and surveillance. And we had a wonderful conversation about whistleblowers and protection for them when they identify fraud or crime in the corporate or private sector. And you wrote an amazing white paper on whistleblowers and a structure to manage them when they highlight a crime or fraud. I forgot to ask you at that time. So for Australians, we're a bit averse to being labelled dobbers. Dobbers is a, you know, colloquialism for whistleblowers.
Yes.
But
yes.
Aussies don't like to be labelled as dobbing or calling out things that are wrong. But conversely, we must call out crime and fraud. Like we have to do it. But as I said, there's this, I don't want to be called a dobber. I don't want to be a, you know, and I'm wondering from your perspective and your experience, has this changed? Is it changing for Australians in particular?
Look, I don't know is it changing, but there's a human tendency in every each of us. It is. And that's, excuse me, Tony. I wrote in my books and particularly in the monograph for the whistleblowers, there's a certain group of the people who become the whistleblowers and certain group of people who become informants. Put informants aside, that's a career. But people love, so when you say the doba, it's not a whistleblower. Doba, it's informant, right? In more ways. But being the whistleblower, it's very difficult because what organizations don't understand, first, they don't grasp the theory of what is a whistleblower? They say it's a dober, you know, it's going to destroy all of us. And
yes.
So let's go destroy that person before destroy us. I'm like, come on, you know, I mean, let's go. Secondly, they outsourcing third parties to manage their whistleblowers, which it's very wrong.
Yeah.
Confidentiality, secrecy, and everything else. I don't go into depth who is running for who whistleblower management plane or whistleblower hotline or in person. But always come back to that point. Whoever is a whistleblower, we must understand that this person is a human after all. Right? Number one. I, in my past previous experiences in government sector, I managed informants, government informants. And I was being told by my superiors, don't ever, Mario, forget he's a human person. He's a human being. Has a name, has a surname. If you don't know how to handle to the end, we're going to handle. Because it comes to the day when you need to tell informant goodbye, right? So you need to do this proper way. But that being said, there's a steps to be taken. But being the whistleblower in Australia, it is very difficult for that reasons already accounted.
Yeah.
Whistleblowers is seen as an enemy, no proper management, no understanding, and not qualified personnel who knows how to manage. But Tony, I will ask you a question. You remember during the COVID, I'm not sure in Queensland, but one night I was surprised when I saw on TV that the government called people to dope people, right?
Yeah.
For the masks and, you know, not wearing the, you know, type of the outfit, you know, government says you need to be wearing.
Yeah.
And I was surprised how police acted on this, right? And how it's not acted, they acted on a call, but it was, for me, it was surprising, you know, I mean, that people doped so much, you know, I mean. However, that another thing itself, because it's been exacerbated, because it's been locked down, people are bored and they needed some action, they were called. And of course, there was a lot of, you know, calls which are not supposed to be done. So, like, it's okay. So, but what I'd say, being whistleblower, it's difficult. Organization should understand that somebody
it takes courage.
It is very big courage, Tony. Absolutely big courage, because without courage you can't do something brave if you're not afraid. Period. Right? I said this so many times. And being a whistleblower takes all courage, because you don't involve yourself, but involve your family, your life, your peers, and you know your family, cousins and relatives into that story. Because once you become a whistleblower, and that organization should understand, when the whistleblower becomes a whistleblower, they should utilize this information, you know, I mean, to act. And that's all whistleblower wants to see something's happening.
Yeah.
Instead of this, we put whistleblower against the wall, and you know everybody does their bit, right? And that's not the right. So I believe that being whistleblower, it's difficult, it's challenging, expect the courage. But I'm inviting every organization to come forward, and I'm happy to help everybody to understand whistleblower management plan.
Absolutely, because you wrote the book on it.
Yeah, look, and as I said, like I ran for the government a couple of months, and it was a challenging time for me as well. And this is the job. Anybody who start managing to understand, we talk about human life, and your job is to protect that human life, not with just with the arms and bodies, but with the secrecy and everything else. You know? So. That's a very important statement to be done for the whistleblower. Does Australia love to dob? I don't think so. People love, I hate the dobbers. But that's like, I was surprised during the lockdown that the government told, you know, mean to people, dob people. I was like, wow, that's a little bit, you know.
I know, I thought the same thing. Ooh, in Australia, I never thought that'd happen.
Yeah, but that being said, I was like, I don't think so. Australians love to be dobbers. But look, everywhere, Tony, you want to have the people who enjoy providing information for free.
Yeah.
And that's the most dangerous people we have.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Mario, one of the other things that we spoke about and a key component of your business is around surveillance. And we covered a number of topics under surveillance, from desktop surveillance to situational surveillance. And I'm wondering if you've got a story from a surveillance perspective, a funny story, any sort of story from your treasure chest of experience around surveillance.
Look, I think that every surveillance itself is a story, you know, by itself. And look, I tell you one story, right? It doesn't go a long time ago, and I've been asked by the client to do something privately for him personally.
Yes.
And it's about his client's son. And his son, he was suspicious his son is taking drugs. Anyway, I said, okay, look, we're going to do surveillance on him. And, you know, it's a difficulty. You know, I mean, it was a rainy day and he's in university. So that was just before the whole COVID hit, right? Because there was all this, you know, no restrictions, you know, basically. During COVID, there was no surveillance because he couldn't do it. Nobody was moving and the police will stop you anyway. Anyway, long story short, we commenced the surveillance. I commenced with the two investigators to do the parallel, right, to switch between each other. One was on a motorbike, one was on the car. So to see where his son goes and son was here. That was a little bit fancy because, you know, you need to work with the client. You must ask client, what's your budget, you know what I mean? Because this is what the cost it is and, you know, you try to adjust the tools and the modus operandi you have on your disposal to the situation because, you know, we spoke about this when you can't send somebody in RV, you know what I mean, in some village to do surveillance and never saw that vehicle. They're going to say,
people are going, that's not
yeah, that's
right.
Correct, you know? And, you know, there's a different barriers between the female and the male investigator. Like they had different approaches. And look, the bottom line is this, that this gentleman, son of the client of my client, was going to university and seeing the people. And we saw this on footage and there was not being drugs done. You know, the guy, he's very nice. But what he happened?
Yeah.
That evening, his father was following his son. And of course, when you follow him, you know, and we informed them when we're going to be it. And anyway, his father, he stood out of the car and he walked to every car on intersection asking, are you a surveillance investigator for the company, this and that? And, you know, my boys was like, on a motorbike, he just He said, like, he approached me and he said, like, ah, no, you are not for sure because you know motorbike, you know, so he was not suspicious of this one. And what it happened, you know, we have the footage and everything else. And when we showed that his son was not taking drugs, his son was having an affair with somebody, which father was even, father was, mom was even more upset, you know what I mean? Because they hoped the drug, but that was, son was more inclined to the different type of love and our parents couldn't handle this. And it's difficult.
I mean,
it's
didn't like, you know,
and it's like, what's wrong? Your son is in love with somebody. Like, oh my God, you know, this and that. And I said, but what's happened with you that you're walking out of a car and checking every intersection? You're stopping every intersection, checking every car who is following your son?
Yeah.
And he said, I knew who they are. I said, like, how do you know who they are? Because my guy was recording you. You know what I mean? How he's knocking on door on every car. He says to me, man, you're good. You know, you're good. That's like, man, look, you just leave me alone. But look, Tony, we have a lot, you know. Like, I give another story. Like, people love faking the injuries, and they're doing exercises in the park, right? They're doing exercises in the park, right? That's best out of the gym. And then we're going to gym as well, exercising, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea, you know, I mean, what's happening when we in the public spaces that we, you know, everybody expecting that someone's going to sit in a car, right, and record them. So that's, you know, looking around, there's no cars. But they forget a person next to them, you know what I mean? And what it's like every time, you know, when we do recording surveillance, it's basically being done in face-to-face. And they don't understand how it's been done. And, of course, they wanted to be... those ones who try to be expert in surveillance, but you can't be expert in surveillance because you are the subject of surveillance. And we are the experts. We are going to surveillance around you. And in the park, usually it's a bottle. You know, all these new gadgets now allows you. So it's like it's so many things. I can't say funny because audience will not understand. But you know, when you have somebody like me sitting there and watching the footage, and Daddy, he's walking car by car, checking who is following his son. It just doesn't make sense. You just want to scream, but you're laughing. It's like, and then what is doesn't noticing, it's that my guy was on a motorbike and the lady, she was far much on behind.
Yeah.
And he was thinking that the car who was actually following his son was our guy in the car. And it was some other gentleman because of heart attack. You know? But yeah, like, you know, I mean, it's... So it is challenging. It is, you know, the funny stories. I can't say it's funny because the only thing it's funny, look, I give you another personal surveillance, right?
And, yes. And
45 degrees, 2 years ago, came to Plaza. Husband comes to us again. He's the client or my client, private job. She's not a corporate job. And he said, look, I think that my wife, she's cheating on me. It's like, look, I am sorry for this. You know, like it's happening.
It's sad.
Yeah, you try to be, you know, compassionate and kind, and you know, like, because I've already seen the end of the end game, you know. Because for me, it's most difficult thing is, I'd rather say there's nothing than to say it's something because you're dealing with emotions.
Yes.
Anyway, and look, the thing it is that his wife, she did cheat on him, right? And it was a 45 degrees, you know, on the sun in the car with other gentlemen. Anyway, presented, you know, the video, and he couldn't understand. He said, like, couldn't they go in your hotel? I said, like, man, it's your wife without a man, you know, who cares the 45 degrees in the car? He was caring more about hotel. And I'm like, so it's difficult, these things, you know, like even they're seeing that wrongdoing, they're still caring for their partners, and that's what it is. It's a catchy.
It must take a toll on you and the investigators when they discover things like affairs, and they know that that's going to have a very human impact on that person, be they man or a woman. How do you support your team through that, Mario?
I always come back to the one thing, like, we're all humans, and, you know, I'm not qualified psychologist. I offered always some type of help to everybody, right? And look, for us, when we see these things, it is difficult, but it's difficult because could happen to anybody else, right? And that's the one thing. But happening to somebody you don't know, And then you need to bear this news to the somebody, right? And it's painful because
Yes.
I can just see what they're going and watches they go through,
Gonna
right? They wanna.
fracture people's lives. It's gonna
Yeah, look,
impact.
that's the reason why we have no in the room, and I'm presenting no any objects except the chairs and the TV on the wall, and the clients in there
Yeah,
because
so they
you
can't
have.
actually smash a chair or something.
Yeah, I learned this very quickly, and you have the business partners as well. You have the business partners
Yeah.
who that's I think that's even more
Difficult to
difficult.
digest.
Yeah, because business partners want to see them. Business partners, it's not a emotional relationship, right? But what it is, it's a psychologically hurt somebody.
Oh,
When I
yeah.
say hurt somebody, because business partners usually they believe in they're doing the right thing, and we have that quite a bit of these business partners who are traveling for the business meeting and actually to go with somebody else in some of these places on behalf of the company, spending those assets, and then you see the people who are doing decision making. It's like a marriage, right? You know what I mean? Like you're going business partnership with somebody, yet your trust is going that person. That person actually lies to you on so many levels. And of course, that's what's happened to the, what's it calling to
In the
business,
business.
yeah, in the business quite a lot, and the theft from the stores, and it's hard to comprehend this because you can see that the person who's watching a video is actually struggling, before they becomes explosive and angry and everything else. And I'm surprised the internet is working between Philippines and Australia. It's working so
I
good.
know, it's working really good. Yay!
Yeah.
Hey, Mario, one of the other subjects that we covered, I think it was probably back in the first show, where we talked about factual and social media intelligent work
Yes.
and network mapping. So I'm thinking that this has changed over the course of the time that you've been in investigative services. This would have changed quite a lot for you and the company over the course of time. And I'm guessing that it's an ever-growing part of the work that you do. How has it changed? How has that social media landscape changed the way you investigate?
Thank you, Tony. I always give the pride on this one. And I mentioned earlier in our conversation today, everything's going to change around us in our generation, you and mine, yours and mine. like when my son says to me, it's like you destroy the planet. You've done this, you've done this. It's like, yeah, but we discovered the internet, we discovered everything else, We go on the moon. But don't blame me, But one thing we're never going to change, Tony, that's what it is. It's a human behavior. Everything what goes on social media has the origin, has the source. It's not important what is written, but who is written as well. And social media intelligence, a part of your capturing, we have the software which captures the data on the internet, and then it does different type of mappings and everything else. Once when the mapping is finished, then we go fine-combing, for the person or what it is. But then you look in the motive. When we talk about misinformation and disinformation, particularly social media gap intelligence, very good. There's several sources which I can discuss with you privately. They know what they're doing, and the best thing or deception it is you're using the smoking mirrors. And smoking mirrors usually comes when you're saying 99% truth
Correct, and
with the
1%.
intent that 1% is actually intent of your true agenda. There's as I said, I always love to use it as Otto von Bismarck. He was the greatest one of the politicians and the leaders in 19th century. Anyway, he was the one who was actually deceiving everybody by saying, I don't want to go in a war, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. A few years later become the Chancellor of Germany and the leader of the Second Reich, and then he crushed the Austria monarch, the empire. So the social media today, it's very deceiving, but you can capture this and you understand after fine-combing because you can see the intent behind the post, intent behind something. While the mostly you don't see these things in before the COVID. COVID was something different. It was marketing, it was happy. Now it's like it throws everybody. And Look at our elections in Australia.
Yes.
Social media intelligence was not used properly, and social media platforms was being just in on the platform, the way to undermine your competitors instead of the using more smart and everything else,
I
which is.
agree. Because we got just right before the election, we got text messages from a particular political party that were talking about something that had been highly politicized, but it just wasn't true. And I'm like, how can they get away with that? Like, how can they get away with that? But I think that Australian people are, and probably for the vast majority of people across the world, are starting to wise up and starting to question some of those things that they see and hear in social media. At least I hope that's happening.
Yeah. Look, look, when it comes to the investigative intelligence, which is part social media intelligence, is a part of investigative intelligence. It is not just, as I say, it's not everybody the bad person. I always come back to one thing: the difference between conspiracy and the truth is the time. The only difference it is, if something is conspiracy, it's going to be proven with the time is the truth or is a real conspiracy. When we come to social media intelligence, it's a part of investigative intelligence, which is capturing and investigating the posts, voting, motives, and everything else in place today, and as well use as a fact supporting tool in case of crime or fraud and anything else. However, social media platforms has been exploded across the globe. And there's no anymore just a dark web, and there's no only deep web. The most prudential, most efficient way how the secrets and it's been sold and how information's been sold or money laundering, it is it's online gaming, real-time online gaming. And that's something what we're currently working right now with a couple of vendors who I'm just learning right now, as well, know right now, last couple of months, that there's a particular games there on the market where you can, utilize everything what you do in the game actually to support somebody else's criminal activity and siphon the money and everything else. And game platform actually allowing people to be paid, in cash, just transactional side. So when you have a 16 million users currently, can change the nickname in a split second and everything else. Doesn't matter IP address, very unlikely you're going to capture what's happening. So there is the way, but it's a very difficult way. So we can forget all this on social media platforms. It's an online gaming which becomes more and more weaponized for the
Gosh.
criminals. Yeah, so that's it. So that's what we're doing right now. So I can share that much. Online gaming, Stoney. Online gaming. So like people are so,
Interesting.
oh my God, YouTube, let's go block him. Yeah, don't worry. The real guys are sitting behind this online games, and the transaction amongst 16, in every hour, it's a 16
That's a lot of money.
million people that game particular. 16 million people. It's not 16 people. 16 million, and there's several of them that do transactions and laundering money and everything else. And game allows this because I want to buy you armor from your Tony. Tony, can you sell me your army? Can yeah. So, social media intelligence evolved as well on a different level.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. What a strange world we
Thinking about
live in,
elections.
Mario. Well, that's
Yeah.
exactly where my brain went.
Yes.
I'm like, so that means you can actually buy elections because, and they've just had an election, incidentally, as long
No,
Australia's
no.
just
Not literally, but yes, but you can organize. Yeah, you can. Yeah. Yeah,
Mario,
and
we're
as I said, like,
almost
look, yeah, and as I said, like, it's always difficult. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
We're just about out of time, and I don't want to finish this show.
Internet, sorry.
I was going to say, now, just as we're about to finish the show, Mario's internet is starting to play up. That's okay. We've just got to get through the next couple of minutes, and it'll all be good. What we're going to do next week is I'm going to get Mario back on, and we're going to actually talk about his author's journey and his books. And I think it's particularly pertinent that we come back and do that. And that's a surprise for Mario and for the listeners, because I think that it's a well worth another episode just to talk about the writing of your books and where that's led. Mario, thank you so much for sharing with us today the elements that we've discussed over the last 8 weeks, and once again for sharing with us what insight intelligence does, and the fact that you also have an educative institute that provides those courses and training for people who are interested in intelligence, and gives them the background that they need to go and work in intelligence, surveillance, or forensics. Those courses you've set up over the course of your lifetime in business, but they come from your decades of experience in the industry, going right back to Croatia, forward to Australia, and some of the best information is packed into those courses as well. So if you're listening today and you're interested in this training, and you know that Mario has the ability to go to you and your company and train and educate you and your staff, please make sure you reach out to Mario and ask the question of how you can update your company, your staff, and prevent fraud and deception within your business, because there are ongoing ways in which that will happen, and you're going to need to be aware of it, and you need to have it as part of your risk management if you're in business, and particularly the big end of business. So I encourage you today, if you're listening, to reach out to Mario and see how the team can assist. And for the audience, if you're interested in any of this great stuff we've been talking about, reach out to Mario and connect, because he can assess what's going to be best for you to learn. He's going to assess what is the best course for you to do, and he'll answer all your questions. So we're going to cut the show now, but we're going to be back next week with one final show with Mario Beckers from Insight Intelligence, and we're going to focus on his authorship and journey in particular, because I want to talk a bit more about Blood Soaked Soil. It's an amazing book. Again, I'm listening to the audio version, so I get to hear that story in Mario's own voice, which is particularly special from my perspective. But we'll be back next week. We're going to have one final show with Mario. We're going to talk about Blood Soaked Soil and the other books that Mario has. So please join us again next week. Mario, thank you so much for joining us from the Philippines today and sharing your wisdom and knowledge with us. We love having you. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I'm going to let you go now before the internet cuts out again.
Yes,
and
it is.
We'll
it is.
Be back. We'll be back for one final show, so don't forget to see us next week. And that, my friends, is your lot for Insight Intelligence this week. Mario and I will be back next week for one final show, and we'll see you all then. Thank you, Mario. Take care.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.